The overture ends. Captain Henry St. James is casual, self-assured, and quietly arrogant. He studies the audience for a moment, confidently, and then with consummate charm and ease, he starts to speak. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. May I introduce myself? My name is Henry St. James, and I am a man with a problem. It seems I've gotten myself into a bit of a tight situation, boxed in, as you might say. And all my own doing, too. Like Lucifer, I aspire too greatly. Like Icarus, I wanted to fly too soon. I dreamed of... But here, let me begin at the beginning. You see, ever since childhood, I couldn't let well enough alone. If something was wrong, I wanted to fix it. If nothing was wrong, surely it could be made better. At heart a perfectionist, I refused to accept anything less than perfection. I reject the point of view that says existence must be tedious, irksome, and incomplete, and that only in paradise can paradise be found. Am I a dreamer? Yes, I am. All this and more, I confess I am. Though some men live by all the rules, in my opinion, they are fools. For I found it simple as ABC to live as I wanted my life to be. Of course, being a dreamer isn't unique, but my dreams tend to be a little different. Other men focus their dreams on building buildings, tracking stars, inventing faster motor cars, painting pictures, writing songs, or whipping up a fluffy batch of nice, clean bombs. But I am concerned with life itself, and I've arranged it to suit myself. The way Van Gogh arranges a landscape or the evening sky, not quite realistically, but more the way it would be if God were a member of the Royal Academy. I too am an artist, in a sense, but I mix my colors with people and events. This report is special on how I arrange my echelon of three paradises, one, two, three. Each a utopia designed by me. Paradise number one, perfect for the Englishman, bounded on the north by the cricket club, bounded on the south by the tepid tub, bounded on the east by the Union Jack, and on the west by bric-a-brac.
And on the west by bric-a-brac.
Charming. Every other Friday, I come back to my little home in the heart of suburban London, eager and hungry for the solid comforts of English life. A pint of lager, a good pipe, a bit of beef, nicely boiled. The captain enters the scene. Maud! Maud, dear! Where are you, darling?
In the kitchen, dear. I'll be right out.
Maud enters.
Hello, Henry.
How are you, old girl?
Good trip.
The usual. Heavy going across the channel. Takes a bit of seamanship.
Dinner in a few moments, Henry.
Good-o. Maud exits to the kitchen. The captain turns to the audience once more. The cozy hearth. The solid values.
And on the west by bric-a-brac.
Good show. Now, the more observant amongst you may have noticed that I am wearing a captain's uniform. Captain of what? A captain of this. Behind the captain is projected a large blow-up of a tub of a boat with the lettering Kipper Queen on the bow. A tub. Oh, I acknowledge it. A tub. A cargo boat. 800 tons. Left to me along with 400 words of advice in my father's will. The boat fades, and in its place is projected a map with the boat's route from London to Paris. My route, down the Thames estuary, into the channel and across, up the mouth of the Seine River, through the locks and docking in Paris. You can fly it in 45 minutes. Gertrude Edderley swam it in 24 hours. It takes me 5 days. The map disappears, and the boat set appears. Paradise number two. A man's world, a man's club on the water. Good talk, vintage port, Havana cigars, the feel of a rolling deck under your feet, the power of command.
Paradise number two, where the men are navy blue, bounded on the north by Cunard White Star, bounded on the south by a good cigar, bounded on the east by the captain's rule, and on the west by grog and gruel.
And on the west by grog and gruel.
Splendid. Now he walks into the scene and plays a scene with his first mate, Manzoni. They toast, glasses of sherry. The Queen, Manzoni, the Queen. Well, Manzoni, another voyage? Manzoni, yes, Captain. Crew morale good, Manzoni? Yes, Captain. No laxity anywhere? No, Captain. Good. I run a tight ship, Manzoni. Iron men in iron ships, but I am, above all things, a fair man. Yes, Captain. The chessboard is set, and the captain makes a move and says, Mate! Manzoni misunderstands, thinks he's been called, and says, Sir? Captain says, points to the chessboard and says, Don't be a fool, Manzoni. Checkmate! Manzoni, congratulations, sir. You've done it again. Captain, quite. The glasses of sherry are refilled. They toast. The Queen! The Queen. And they smash their glasses.
And on the west by grog and gruel.
Captain addresses the audience once more. So far, there's nothing startling on you, is there? You, sir, you in the second row. You have that, don't you? Your little house in Scarsdale. Bounded on the north by the new home sites. Bounded on the south by mosquito bites. You, sir, you have your man's world, Madison Avenue, I believe. Bounded on the east by the rating book, and on the west by the ivy look. Ah, but my dear sir, do you have that third paradise? That paradise every man dreams of, but few men really create and inhabit.
Paradise number three, land of morning lechery. Bounded on the north by Toulouse-Lautrex. Bounded on the south by the act of sex. Bounded on the east by a left bank den. And on the west by sex again.
And on the west by sex again.
C'est si bon. Now the captain enters the set of his apartment in Paris in a garret overlooking Montmartre.
Darling, darling, where are you?
In the tub.
She comes out in a dressing gown. They kiss for 10 minutes, and she goes back into her tub. And the captain steps forward once more, the lights behind him dim, and he sings.
Three paradises, one, two, three, each a utopia designed by me. But in every paradise you'll always find a snake. And if he couldn't keep his paradise from being destroyed by a serpent, what do you expect from me? I've set the scene just to help you understand. Captain Henry St. James, at your command.